You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Dark and the hills are white as the Storm King speeds from the north tonight. And this is the song of the Storm King sings as over the world his cloak he flings. Sleep, sleep, little one, sleep. He rustles his wings and gruffly sings, sleep, little one, sleep. On yonder mountainside and vine clings at the foot of the mother pine. The trees bend over the trembling things, and only the vine can hear her sing. Sleep, sleep, little one, sleep. What shall you fear when I am here? Sleep, little one, sleep. The king may sing in his bitter flight. The tree may croon to the vine tonight. But the little snowflake at my breast, like the song, I sing the best. Sleep, sleep, little one, sleep. Weary thou art, annexed my heart. Sleep, little one, sleep.
Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. Yeah, that's known as the Real Paranormal Activity Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you personally. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guy in the corner, yeah, thank you, thank you. Little girl over there, hey girl, thank you, thank you. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for hitting that little button and coming in here to the world of dreams. Sometimes it's the world of the paranormal, but, you know, Aaron Hunter has that. And sometimes it's the world of horror, but, you know, Aaron Frail has that. And we're not talking cryptoids because Terry from Texas does that. We basically talk about the world of dreams. And tonight I'm going all the way to Memphis, Tennessee tonight or today or whenever actually you're listening to this right now. Because, you know, you can click that button anytime here on the RPA Network and tune in to what we have to say and listen to you. But let me introduce this person right here real quick. His name is Phil Harris. He's an independent researcher. He's a philosopher. Phil, you could actually say hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
I was waiting for the key word for you to say hi. I knew you were there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening.
And he's one of my... I prostitute myself on Facebook very many times, and... And I beg people all over the world, said, dude, I want to interview you. I want to interview you. And actually, I got Phil to come in and do this interview. And Phil's very knowledgeable of different fields, especially the research side, which I really enjoy knowing that people are out there doing. Phil, tell me a little bit about your background so the listeners can understand what's going on.
Okay. Well, in the context of the things we're talking about, I've always been into various different things that most people weren't in, even from a young age. You know, I was the kid who was into science and dinosaurs and mythology and all that kind of stuff, even as a young child. And, you know, didn't do much with it because the world and society and, you know, just kind of pushes those things out of you. But as I got older and turned into a teenager, I started delving back into things and became real interested in lucid dreaming and astral projection, philosophy and things of the sort. So, you know, got back into it then, practiced for a few years, then got out of touch with it again until about 6-7 years ago now. I really hit the rabbit hole, as they say, and dove in head first and, you know, have been researching nonstop since then. All fields of occultism, esotericism, psychology, history, you know, pretty much everything related to those topics.
So where were you born again?
I was actually born up in Chicago. My dad was in the Navy, and he was stationed there temporarily. So I was born in Chicago, but was only there for a few days. I was actually raised in Atlanta, Georgia, most of my young life, and then he retired, and we moved here to Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been here ever since. I've moved around a couple times, but basically my entire adult life has been here in Memphis.
So what would you say about your spirituality? Or do you say you're more of a religious person, or would you basically say you're more of a spiritual person?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I would say I'm more spiritual, not really religiously inclined. Luckily, I wasn't raised in the church, you know, and force-fed any particular faith or denomination, anything like that. But as I said earlier, I've always been interested in spiritual things and felt a subconscious calling to it. And, you know, as I've gotten older and studied more, I've been drawn closer to my own belief system, which I would call, you know, I'm not really sure. I take a little bit of everything, basically, and that's why I call myself a philosopher, because, you know, I don't subscribe to any one particular belief system. I try to take bits and pieces of all of them and form my own. So I would basically say the closest thing I can come up with is maybe a Gnostic philosopher. I do resonate quite a bit with the Gnostic teachings.
Right.
So I really can't label myself as just one. You know, I'm spiritual, and I do believe in God and a higher power and various hierarchies of spirits and such, but I don't follow any one labeled system, really.
Who would you say is one of your favorite teachers?
Teachers?
Yeah.
Oh, it's people ask me what my favorite this and that is all the time, and I really can't come up with one. There's so many.
Okay, give me some, because I know you're exactly right. There's so many teachers that are out there, but okay, you talked about Gnosticism. Who would you say is your major influence in teaching that principle?
Well, I really have learned most just from my own studying of the Nag Hammadi and the Apocrypha and the Lost Gospels and such.
Right.
I really haven't followed the teachings of any one particular person. Of course, John Lamb Lash, or, you know, he has a lot of stuff I've read on it, but it's mainly from my own research into the topic, reading the Lost Gospels and such. I do have quite a few people that I would consider my main influences in my past so far, mainly P. Hall, of course. You know, he is a very good start for anybody getting into the field of esotericism and such. Helena Blavatsky, she has some very good material. Santos Bonacci, his old material helped me out a lot when I first found it all on YouTube. Michael Sarian, he has some really good videos. Mark Passio, just so many. You know, basically anybody that's out there doing the work of learning things that they resonate with and sharing their knowledge with people, are my favorite teachers, basically. It's hard to pick any. Any that have, you know, very good knowledge that they are sharing are who I like to learn from.
Have you ever channeled?
Channeled?
Right.
No, not in the normal sense of it, to where you get into a trance and channel. Now, I do get intuitive downloads, if you want to call them, or what I feel are signs and messages from the spirit, but not anything I've purposely tried to channel or been put into a trance or anything like that for. That's a little bit outside of my, not comfort zone, but just I just don't feel drawn to that particular way of doing things.
Okay.
But I have learned a lot from people who do channel.
Well, you mentioned Manly P. Hall, and it's just Manly P. Hall. For me, he's also a huge influence in my reading too. So I'm very thrilled that you're a big fan of Manly P. Hall. And
oh yeah, definitely. He's probably the first one who really, got me a foothold into the world of esotericism, and got me started. Definitely one of the first.
It was a shame he just passed away recently. Tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't
not recently. I mean, like last week. It's been many years ago, but
I think it was 90 in the mid 90s. Early mid 90s, I believe.
Yeah, but he was a huge influence in a lot of teachings, and I think he was teaching out in California, and he had a lot of people that he taught out there, and he had a huge collection of items that he picked up on all of his tours when he went around the world.
Oh yeah, he had either the largest or one of the largest alchemical manuscript collections also, which you can find out there on the internet in PDF form. He, like you said, had a large collection of various texts that he had read over. He did lectures, hundreds of audio lectures, and opened up the Philosophical Research Society, I think is the name, which they are continuing on his legacy to this day, selling his some of his audio and pamphlets and such.
Yeah, you can pull it up on YouTube. He has a lot of YouTube things that he did.
Oh yeah, I think total he has almost 900 MP3 lecture recordings that were done, over his life, that they recorded, and they were first put out on cassette tape, and then they've been transferred over to CDs and digital format now, and are available in different places online. But yeah, there's like 900 of his audio lectures, and then like 50 or 60 of those alchemical manuscripts, several books he's written. There's a few of his live interviews later on in his life that he did that are on YouTube. But he has he has done a lot of work. He's one of the most influential esotericists of the current era, the modern era.
I agree. No, I fully agree. Let's jump to lucid dreaming. Can you give me some examples? How do you basically set yourself up? Do you set yourself up in a certain phase or a certain mood before you go to sleep to be able to do some lucid dreaming?
Well, there's a few different techniques people use. There's a few of the most common ones. Basically, the most important thing is just setting the intention throughout the day and just in general that you want to lucid dream. There's techniques you can do throughout the day to help it, but just setting the intention and thinking that you want to do it is very important, because it will help you as you start falling asleep and actually fall asleep to have that in your mind that you want to become conscious while you're sleeping. If you're not thinking about it at all or don't have any intention to do it, once you actually fall asleep, you're going to, totally lose control of your ability to retain your conscious mind. So intention is key. And then there's several different techniques you can use. Like the one I used to use a lot was looking at a clock and, just looking at a clock every few minutes or every couple hours or something like that. And then trying to, if you get in the habit of doing something repeatedly throughout the day, a lot of times you will have a dream of something similar. And then you'll notice if you look at a clock in your dream a lot of times that the numbers won't look right, or you can't focus on the numbers or something, and that'll be a cue for you to ask yourself, hey, am I dreaming? I must be dreaming. And then if you can not wake up at that point, you can, you know, get into a lucid dream after some practice. So there's things like that. You can simply throughout the day, every 5, 10, 15 minutes, just ask yourself, am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? And then out of habit, you know, after you fall asleep, your subconscious or in your dream, you might ask yourself, am I dreaming? And then you can look around and notice if things are weird and, you know, become conscious that you are in a dream and hopefully not snap out of it then when you realize you are dreaming, because that's what happens to most people when you're first practicing on it.
Does it complement your waking world?
What's that?
Does your dream or your, when you're lucid dreaming, when you're trying to control your dreams, do you notice that it might complement your waking world from the dreams that you're journeying in?
Complement the waking world and
it's, you know, how you have, you know, how you have the waking world that, you know, people call existence, you know, what would they call reality, and you know what you have, your dreamlands. Do you notice that when you dream that that helps you in your regular waking world?
Oh yeah, I mean, you can use dreams, basically most dreams are about things you've experienced in your waking life and your subconscious trying to work those things out. And so becoming conscious of your dreams, not only can you just have fun with them and do whatever you want, but also you can analyze things going on in your dreams and consciously control them more in your favor or how you want them to go. That way it's easier to work these problems out in your daily life. So if you have something that's stressing you throughout the day a lot or going on in your life and you aren't really analyzing them or doing anything to fix them, you'll usually have dreams somewhat based on that, because it's, your mind is trying to force you to analyze it and see how you can deal with it. So the more lucid you can become of your dreams and the more dream work you can do, the better you can process through these things and see it positively affecting your waking state. Because now, let's just say you're depressed about a breakup or something. You know,
right.
If you have these dreams and you are seeing your ex in the dream, and normally in a non-lucid state, you're just having all these crazy emotions from seeing your ex in your dream. If you can then become lucid and banish that person away out of your dream or something like that, you'll notice when you wake up and they're in the future, you won't have so many stressful thoughts about them, won't be dwelling on it so much, things like that. So, you know, you can use the dream world to, yes, very positively affect your waking state and your everyday life.
Just a couple episodes, we had a guy that was talking about how he had a dream within a dream. He had a dream, and basically he knew he was in a dream. He started lucid dreaming, so he knew he was in it. Then he woke up, then he found out that his friend, he said, "Don't worry, I'm here because, you know, secretly I'm Superman." And then he realized, hold on, I'm in another dream. Have you ever actually had a dream within a dream?
Oh, yeah. It's not very often, but it definitely has happened a few times. And one time, I even had a dream within a dream within a dream. This was just fairly recently.
How does that work? Man, talk to me about that. How does that work?
All right, so this was pretty strange at the time, because I really wasn't even doing any dream work then, but it was during a pretty transformative phase of my life, and there was a lot of spiritual things going on, and, you know, it was just a crazy time in my life. So went to sleep. I don't remember all the details, but it was a normal dream. I didn't go lucid or anything. It was just a normal dream state. Well, I woke up, or I thought I woke up from the dream, and I was laying in my bed. Just like any other morning, you know, you wake up, you have your morning routine. You might lay there for a couple minutes. You lean over and grab water off your table or whatever. So I'm doing my normal routine for a few minutes, and just so lifelike. I swore I was awake. I was doing everything like I normally would. There was nothing out of the ordinary. So a few minutes later, you know, I kind of just start to fade out of consciousness or whatever, and then went back into a dream and realized that was another dream that I was in when I thought I was awake. So started having other little things going on in the dream. Woke up again, or thought I woke up again, same thing. But this time, when I got up, it looked like my room and everything was the same, but I was, like, hearing some voices or subconscious voices, something going on, which seemed like they were in the room with me, but it was still a dream, so it was kind of freaking me out because I don't normally hear voices or nothing like that. So I'm like, man, I'm awake. What are these voices? Oh, my God, are there ghosts in here or whatever? And then I snapped out of it again and really woke up. But because of those two I just had, I was really questioning them. Am I awake? Am I awake? So I'm, like, pinching myself and, like, getting some water and walking around the house. And finally, after a few minutes, I realized I was awake. I think I got a phone call or something like that. But, yeah, it was really strange.
You just mentioned ghosts. Have you ever seen a ghost before?
Not in the normal sense of, like, a regular apparition. But I've seen orbs and I've seen things happen in my vicinity that were caused by something spiritual, for sure. But I'm not really I guess because I'm sort of a logical, science-minded person, or I used to really be. You know, I don't know if it's that I don't allow myself to have that experience, or it's just not the way I'm meant to experience things. But I don't really just see things that much like a lot of other people would.
Well, see,
and stuff, but I do see the effects of them, but right. I haven't really seen an apparition or a ghost, but
well,
I
see,
have seen orbs and such.
It's like a muscle. Remember, I work in a hospital during the rest of the week and doing surgery, and where I work, I am serious as living hell that every day something happens paranormal in the department that I'm at. And this is a good example of what happened just the other day. I was working on, I do decontam. I clean surgical instruments and I get them ready for surgery and everything. I'm like in a crime scene every day, blood all over the place. And I go outside. I was working on a set and I turned on a sink for a C-section. And I went outside to get another cart to bring it in. And I knew I had to go back to the sink real quick to turn the sink off because otherwise it'd overflow. And as I was walking to the sink, we have like a water problem every once in a while. And I was thinking, oh my God, the water's trickling. I hope this isn't going on again. And the damn sink was off. I asked the guy that was with me and he said he didn't do it. And I was like, every day something happens in that department that I work in. It's just so weird. I mean, stuff, you'll hear voices. More people have heard or seen stuff than haven't heard or seen stuff. But like I said, I think it's almost like you're lucid dreaming. The more that you practice with it, that the more that you actually notice it, it's like a muscle.
Oh, definitely, yeah, like a psychic muscle, or what some people say, it's your pineal gland or something. You have to, you know, meditate, focus on things, do certain practices, but definitely spiritual sight is something that you have to work on and exercise to fully, you know, utilize it.
It's weird. It's every day something happens. People be whisper, you see them spinning little circles looking around. I'm like, what's the matter? And they said, did you just call my name? And I was like, no. I said, why, did you hear somebody? They said, yeah. And I said, how did it sound? They said, it sounds normal. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I keep on saying that there's a ghost back here. Okay, let's go real quick.
Hospitals and stuff like that are definitely one of the top places for things like that to happen because of just so much trauma and death and such, you know, happening in the place. Anywhere that there's things like that going on, there's going to be a lot of spiritual activity.
Well, one guy was going down the hall. He was wiping the walls down just the other day, and he said, I got to tell you this story, that he was wiping the walls down, and he went back to drop off the polish because it's mostly the people that do environmental, and he came back, and there was a handprint right on the wall, and he couldn't understand, and he went and got another guy, and they compared their hand to the hand that was on the print of the wall, and it was half the size. It was basically like a child's hand.
That is so strange you say that. One of my best friends just a week or two ago was telling me a very similar story. He had been doing some specific, you know, type of work that he does, alchemy and things, and he started having handprints show up around his house. And these ones weren't small. They were very large. And, actually, one of them was the same size as a normal hand. One of them was much larger, but it wasn't any of their handprints. I mean, these people are smart, and they know what's going on. There were handprints showing up at their house. So obviously that's some type of common sign they leave.
There's a chill. I mean, my hairs just went up on my arm right there. I'm looking at it right now. Hey, tell me, have you ever went through a sleep paralysis or anything like that?
Just very minorly. I know all about it, and I've talked to several people in the groups over the years, and I'm in groups about, you know, that type of stuff, and so I know all about it, but I've only experienced very minor stages of it. You know, mainly when I am working on lucid dream work and other types of dream work, I can start to feel it coming on, but I've never really had the full-blown deal where you see the Hat Man and the Shadow Man and you're wide awake, but you can't move. I think once or twice I've had it, you know, like to a minor extent, but never the full-blown deal like you hear about and you read about, although I know many people that I trust 100% that have, you know, given me very detailed accounts of it. Now, I have had those dreams where you're in a dream and you can't do anything. You know, you're held down or you're trying to run from something and you can't.
Right.
Things like that. I've had those, which I'm thinking are sleep paralysis symptoms showing up in my dream, but I've never been fully conscious while I was having the paralysis.
How do you travel in your dreams?
Travel?
Yeah, do you get there by, do you notice you move a lot by boat? Do you teleport? Do you fly?
Interesting you ask. I've never really thought about it, but now that you say it, I think I'm just normally always on foot, just walking. I'm sure I've had a couple dreams of driving or something, but now that I think about it, I don't ever really think I have dreams of flying in planes or boats or anything. Now, I do have flying dreams sometimes where I can fly, and those are actually my favorite dreams. I love having those dreams. You can just somehow in your dream, you know you can fly, and you can just take off to the top of a building or a tree or something. You know, those are always really cool dreams. But, yeah, most of the time I'm just traveling on foot.
What would you say is memorable? Do you have a favorite dream or a nightmare that may have bothered you most of your life?
I don't really have that many nightmares. I've had a few, you know, a few scary dreams over the years. I'm pretty much in control of, or I, you know, feel like I'm in control of my consciousness to a fair extent. So I don't normally have, you know, really out of control dreams and nightmares and stuff. Now, I have had a few when I was younger, things chasing you, like I mentioned a minute ago, things chasing you and you can't get away, or, you know, just a sense of impending doom in your dream about something going on around you, or being in a very unfamiliar environment, like maybe a building with really small hallways and creepy noises and stuff, you know. But there's really no recurring dreams that I've had that are very scary.
Okay.
I've had other, you know, good dreams about good things happening, but nothing really super memorable worth talking about.
So do you think the difference between when you were a child, did you dream more then, or as an adult you dream more now?
Overall, I would say probably as a child I dreamt more, and they were more dreams where I was you know, out of control or having just real random dreams that didn't seem to make sense about anything going on in my life. Now, as I got older and I was actually starting to work on dream work and having a dream journal and things like that, you know, I can get to where I have a lot more dreams and I remember a lot more and I can analyze them. And then sometimes I go through stages where it's like I do so much during the day and I'm researching so much, talking and so busy working in life that I think I almost try to shut my mind off from dreaming because I just want that time to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want my brain busy the whole time dreaming. But, yeah, when I am trying to do dream work, I do have a lot. And I've actually noticed there's certain supplements that I can take that really boost the dreaming. Magnesium, if I take magnesium before I go to sleep, it really makes me dream much more vivid. There's a supplement I take called Lugol's iodine, and it really makes me have vivid dreams. And also, a lot of people will say this too, and I've experienced this. If you smoke marijuana, there's something about it. Marijuana seems to dampen your dreams, and you won't have as many dreams. If you stop smoking for a few days or a week, ask people about it in the future as you're talking to more people. When you quit, your dreams will come back way stronger than most. There's something about it where it dampens your dreams.
I'll have to talk to people about that. I've been sober for too damn long, so
it was just showing the correlation between supplementation and things you can ingest or whatever do have an impact on.
It does make sense. Now this sounds like an advertisement for magnesium. So it sounds like I'm going to go take my multivitamin. Hey, quick question. We're almost reaching the end real quick. This is one of my normal questions. Nobody has usually the same answer because, you know, everybody's a little different. But living or dead, if you could meet somebody in your dreams, who would it be?
Oh, wow. Man, there's a long list.
Go ahead. I'm going to one, but if you got a couple, you know, let it fly.
All right. Well, it would probably most definitely in the top three would be one of the most famous ancient philosophers, either somebody like Pythagoras. Now, there's debate on whether he was actually a real person or not, but there are a lot of works attributed to him and, you know, people talk about him. So somebody either like Pythagoras or Plato, or one of the more modern master occultists, you know, like I was talking about, Manly P. Hall, Blavatsky, somebody like that, you know.
Levi?
Elias Levi? Yeah, I like his stuff pretty good. I would definitely like to meet him. He's not top on the list, but, yeah, I would not be opposed to seeing him for sure. But, you know, just anybody that had spent their whole life, you know, researching and dedicating their life to uncovering hidden secrets, that had an extensive knowledge base that I could just have a great conversation with. You know, like I said, I can learn from anybody. It's hard for me to pick favorites when it comes to these types of things.
Right.
But, you know, definitely either somebody from the very ancient world who was on top of everything going on then, so I could really find out and see what they knew and what was really going on. And then also, you know, one of the more modern ones from the current times who is considered to be, you know, one of the highest ones, like maybe Solomon or something, if he was a real person, someone like, you know, Solomon the King or something like that.
Cool. Hey, I'm about to take off in a second, but I want to give you an open mic real quick without me asking questions with it. So think real quick about, you know, like I said, we have a large listening audience on the RPA network. And I want to once again say this is Phil Harris. He's an independent researcher and philosopher, and he's going to drop some words of wisdom to us real quick. And Phil, I'm going to go ahead and back away from the mic, and I'm going to let you have it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just want to say that we right now are living probably in the most transformative time period that there has been in thousands of years, you know, since the decline of the Roman Empire and thousands of years of suppression and religious control and things like that. And this is a very exciting time to live in. And I want myself and everybody around to try to really be dedicated to creating positive change in the world, learning what they can, fighting all this disinformation and political propaganda and division and such that's going on the media and everywhere nowadays. So, you know, I just want to do my part and also see, you know, hope that I can live to see when knowledge and enlightenment can start to become more prevalent in the world. And I hope that that's what I can help to achieve, you know. And I appreciate you having me on.
Phil, you're a good man, you know, dude.
Get my name out there and get people thinking. You know, it doesn't matter what it's about. If you just actually are thinking and trying to learn new things, you're on the right path. It's not what you're researching or what you're thinking about. It's just trying to learn anything and get past the programming of everyday society.
So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. You can type in my name, Phil Harris, probably a keyword after it. I'm living in Millington, Tennessee, so you could type in Phil Harris Millington. I'm on YouTube. My channel is youtube.com/users/MemphisP123.
You have a Facebook group, if I remember.
Yeah, I have a Facebook group. The one that I started and I admin is called Ancient Esoteric and Occult Wisdom. There's a few other I admin, but that's the main one. And I actually just started recently a page called The Eternal Circle, and it's going to be kind of like the home base for a project that I'm going to be working on real soon, a network of trusted associates and researchers, and we're going to have a lot of really good stuff going on and try to get this movement going I was just talking about to, you know, help the world start to actually try to raise their consciousness and, you know, move slowly towards the next golden age, if you want to call it that.
No. Keep us in touch. Well, I'm going to probably drag your ass right back here one day.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I could talk for hours about all this stuff.
Well, you're Southern. You're Southern just like me. You could just give us some green tea and some a moon pie, and we last forever. Hey, let me get this out real quick. Don't forget, on Monday you have Aaron Hunter with Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, and on Tuesday you have Aaron Frail. He does Aaron's horror show. He basically watches horror shows and reads horror books, so you don't have to, because, like I said, a lot of stuff out there coming from Hollywood really sucks. And on Wednesday, you have Terry's Mysterious Moments with Terry from Texas. He's in his second year, so go ahead and check them out. And every once in a while, you'll hit on to the Sandman Lullaby. That's me. If you want to get in touch with me, that's Sandman Lullaby. I'm not going to spell it because I spell bad. That's sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. Phil, dude. I'm going to let you hold on for a second. Say bye.
All right. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And everyone have a great day, night, whatever it is while you're there. And talk to you in the future sometime. And hope to see everyone around.
That's Phil. Phil Harris, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I'd like to thank each and every one of you once again. Thank you. You hiding over there. I'm still going to thank you because you're so cute. But otherwise, you've been in the Sandman Lullaby. Ha 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 ha.